We're going to hand over to Jess McFadden, and she's going to bring a great word for us this morning. Let me pray for Jess. Lord God, we thank you for Jess. We thank you for your word and your spirit. We thank you, Lord, that Jess has surrendered her life to you, and Lord, that she is your vessel. And so, Lord, may our hearts be open and our minds renewed this morning as your word comes to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Good morning, church. I'm so glad that you were able to join us for church today live streamed. I wish that you were all here with me this morning, but I know that we are going to be together again very soon. Can I encourage you in this space, wherever you're watching church today, whether you're watching it around the table or on the couch, I encourage you this morning to lean into what God has to teach us today. This morning, we're going to talk about friendship. Now, when I was younger, I found it very easy to make friends. I can vividly remember walking into any park or playground and walking up to the nearest child and saying, "Hi, my name is Jess. We're friends now. Let's play." I was a very bold child, to say the least. And most of the time, children would play with me and call me their friend too. But every now and again, I would come across one child that would find my offer of friendship a tad forceful and would back away slowly. When I was 7, making friends was easy. But since growing up, I've learned a lot about friendship. I have made many mistakes in friendships. I have been hurt by friends, and I have hurt friends. Today, we're going to look at the concept of healthy biblical friendships. I believe today that we can all learn how to do friendship better. When praying and preparing for my sermon today, God placed it on my heart to preach on the story of David and Jonathan. Today's message is going to be taken from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 20, if you would like to read along in your Bibles. For those who don't know, at the beginning of the book of 1 Samuel, Samuel, who was a prophet, anointed Saul to be the first king over Israel. However, after a short period of time, Saul stopped listening to the voice of God when it came to making decisions as king. So God told Samuel that soon a new king was to be appointed over Israel. So Samuel began looking for what we would nowadays call king material. And soon along came a young man named David. Now you might have heard the story of David who fought the giant Goliath. That's the same David we're going to be talking about today. It became obvious quite quickly to Saul that David had significant potential to replace him as king and be a great leader over Israel. And he was threatened by him. He was jealous and even wanted him dead. Talk about a grudge. Soon after, David formed an unlikely friendship with Saul's son, Jonathan. Today, we're going to learn about characteristics from their friendship that we can apply to our own friendships today. Now, I'm well aware, especially from my own experience, that it can be easy to quickly forget what we learn about on Sundays. So today we're going to come up with a quick sentence to summarize today's message today. Repeat after me, including the 10 people in this room. Today's message summarized in a sentence: commitment and safety, not jealousy and comparison. Good. Commitment and safety, not jealousy and comparison. The first point this morning is commitment belongs in healthy friendships. The word commitment often doesn't hold a lot of value in today. And I know from my own experience, I can often commit to things that I know I'm probably not going to fulfill. For example, I give up on every diet the second that I smell chicken nuggets. I even gave up being a vegetarian when my friend offered me a chicken nugget. That's a true story. Stop laughing at me. This morning, I want to encourage you to think about your friendships. This morning, I want to encourage you to ask yourself, how committed are you to your friends? And how committed are your friends to you? Jonathan was so committed to his friendship with David that in this story, he even made a covenant to prove his level of loyalty. Verse 16 to 17 out of chapter 20 says, "So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, 'May the Lord call David's enemies to account.' And Jonathan made David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself." Now, I believe that the use of the word covenant is significant in this passage. Jonathan didn't just make a pinky promise, as we would say nowadays. He made a covenant. For those who don't know what a covenant means, it is a legal and binding agreement between parties. Jonathan wasn't going to change his mind about his friendship with David. That commitment that he made to his friend was legal and binding and everlasting. Now, I don't know about you, but today I'm aspiring to be as committed to my friends as Jonathan was to David. Commitment to friendships requires intentional effort. In order to have healthy friendships, we need to take the time to care and tend to them. If we're not committed to our friendships and we're not putting in the effort to communicate, to catch up with, and relate to one another, then our friendships are going to die. Now let's talk about plants for a second. I will admit that I've become one of those crazy plant freaks during quarantine. I've taken numerous trips to Bunnings, so I know a lot about plants. So we're going to use a plant illustration today. Now, if you don't know a lot about plants, trust me, you'll understand this. This formula is very simple. Take care of plant, keep alive. Now, one of my beautiful housemates absolutely adores plants. She often buys plants with the intention of keeping them alive and taking care of them. But unfortunately, she doesn't have that formula figured out. She has a gift of killing plants that you didn't even know were possible to kill. Now, me and my other housemate, to help her with this gift, purchased her a fake plant, surrounded it with real soil, and placed it on her desk to make her feel better and make her feel like she was keeping it alive. She even watered it the first time she saw it. We were so proud. Now, currently it is still living, but I will let you know if anything changes. You see, kind of like my lovely housemate, if we don't water and tend to our friendships, they're going to die. Take care of, keep alive. That's the formula I want to sort of remember this morning. This morning, I think it's also important to mention the last part of verse 17. Because he loved him as he loved himself. I believe it's important to remember that we deserve commitment as well. Relationships and friendships require equal contribution. As much as we want to be committed to our friends, we also need to be aware of how committed our friends are to us. The second point this morning is respect and safety belongs in friendships. In this story, Jonathan's father, Saul, is threatened by David, and he wanted to take his life so that he wouldn't become king. Now, Jonathan displayed a love and friendship for David through wanting to protect his safety. He even helped him escape from his father when he was trying to take his life. Verse 34 says, "Jonathan got up from the table in fierce anger. On that second day of the month, he did not eat because he was grieved at his father's shameful mistreatment of David." In this passage, Jonathan and David revealed an important characteristic when it comes to our friendships, that safety, protection, and respect belong in healthy friendships. Now, I don't know about you, but when God placed this point in my heart, it was a very hard pill to swallow. This morning, I thought it was important for people to hear that mistreatment and disrespect do not belong in healthy friendships. Now, I am on this journey of learning that. I am learning to be assertive when my boundaries have been disrespected across in my friendships. I often value my physical safety more than my emotional safety. Now, wherever you are right now, I want you to imagine this. You are in a room and your safety is at risk. Maybe there is a bomb or a fire threatening your physical safety. What would you do in this situation? I don't know about you, but I would start running, not very fast, but I would start running. Now, I believe that it's important to have that same attitude when it comes to our emotional safety, because we need to protect our heart. We need to consistently evaluate whether we are being respected and valued in our friendships. This morning, I would also like to encourage you to think about how you're treating your friends. Are we speaking to our friends with respect? Are we being kind? Are we lifting them up or are we pulling them down? Are we being easily angered? Are we being judgmental? We need to keep our hearts safe. The third and final point this morning is jealousy and comparison do not belong in healthy friendships. Repeat after me. Jealousy kills. Saul's jealousy completely destroyed the potential possibility of having a friendship with David. Chapter 18, verse 8 to 9 says, Saul is very angry. They have credited David with tens of thousands, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that day, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. Saul compared his success with David's, and that left him feeling bitter and jealous. Jonathan, however, who was Saul's successor, Jonathan, who was Saul's son, had the potential to become king if Saul had died and David wasn't appointed king. However, instead of making a decision to be jealous of his friend, Jonathan celebrated David's success with him. In chapter 23, Jonathan even said to David, "You shall become king." This emphasized the fact that Jonathan had made a decision not to be jealous. Verse 16 to 17 says, "And Saul's son Jonathan went to David and helped him to find strength in the Lord. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be second to you. Even my father knows this.'" Jonathan said, "I shall be second to you." He did not complain. He did not become angry that his friend was going to become king instead of himself. Now, I don't know about you, but I often find myself trapped in jealousy. And that's something that I'm working on being healed from. I don't know about you, but I can often compare myself to my friends. I often compare the way that I look. I often compare my level of success, my employment, sometimes my spiritual journey. And I have discovered that jealousy and comparison can be very deadly in friendships. Last year, I even experienced how destructive it can be when trying to form healthy friendships. Now, last year, I became very jealous and bitter when my best friend started giving another girl more attention than she was giving myself. And instead of being happy that my friend had made a new friend, I became bitter because I was comparing myself to that other girl. I was jealous, and it took me having to admit that for that relationship to be restored. Jealousy almost destroyed that friendship for me. This morning, I would like to encourage you to learn from my mistake. I believe that jealousy and comparison can be one of the biggest habits that destroy and kill friendships today. Can I encourage us this morning to make a conscious decision to not be jealous friends? And if we become jealous like I did, let's be friends that admit that. Because the first step to change is admitting. Jealousy and comparison do not belong in healthy friendships. This morning, we learned about some keys of having healthy friendships. Commitment and safety, not jealousy and comparison. My hope and prayer is that today we can walk away with a decision to be better friends. Friends are essential. God even said in Genesis that it is not good for man to be alone. But it is important that the friendships that we have are healthy and not damaging. We need to protect our heart and our friendships. To conclude the message this morning, I would like to acknowledge my best friend in life and give glory to God for today's word. Accepting Jesus into my heart was the best decision that I've ever made. And today I would like to give you that same opportunity to make that decision if you feel led. If you would like to accept Jesus Christ into your heart today, or you would like to recommit to your relationship with him, I ask you to look to the screen and repeat this after me. Dear Jesus, I need you and believe in you, and I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and for giving me life and eternity. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Amen.